Oh, howdy there, folks. Lester's is proud to present the Possum Posse Jamboree. Here it is.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 213, behind the scenes of Lester's Possum Park Fan Edition. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode. Welcome, welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast. My name is Chelsea Robson, and I have a friend. His name is Ted Sowards. And about 11 years ago, before I really even knew him, he had a goal to do a live-action version with all of his friends of the song After Today from the Goofy movie. It became a huge success online, went viral, and it has today over 7 million views, which I think is pretty amazing. And he decided that he wanted to be able to do it again, except this time he really did up the ante. And if you're able to go and watch this video, it's so cool because he did all of the animation for it. And he was able to get the director, Kevin Lima, to be the leader of Lester's Possum Park, here it is, guy. And he ended up getting the real voice actors, Bill Farmer and Jason Marsden, to come in and play them their characters in this live action version. And I had no idea this was going to be happening. He just called me the night before and said, hey, we're going to be doing this. Do you want to join? And him just being one of my good friends now, I was like, yeah, I want to be involved in whatever you're doing. And then I get there and not only is Bill Farmer there, like what? And then also walks in Jason Marsden. So I'm like, this is pretty epic. And so at the very last minute, after all the filming was done, I asked if they would be willing to just kind of sit around and do a little bit of a chat. So yeah, that's what we did. And so that is the backstory of this pseudo interview. It is an interview, but at the same time, we just kind of turned on our phones. I had my phone recording the memo and Ted was also recording voice memo on his. And so I just, in this edit, I went in and I put my edit on one side and his on the other side because he was closer to Bill and I was closer to Jason. And so to kind of, it creates a little bit of a surround sound experience. However, there is a couple places where Ted's microphone got turned off. And so you'll only be hearing it on one side, but then it will come back and you'll be able to hear both sides again for the rest of it. So I'm excited about this. This is honestly just everybody kicking back after a fun day of filming and doing just something really cool. And they're just such gracious people to be able to come out. They both did this for free. It was just a fan thing that they came down. They're like, yeah, we want to be a part of this fun thing that keeps living on. And just sat around and we chatted. So you are going to be a fly on the wall in this conversation. If you are a patron, I am basically going to slap it all down there and you get the full edit. I'm not going to edit it at all. When I started recording is when you will hear it. And when I turned it off is also where you're going to hear it. So make sure you go to rotoscopers.com/patron or rotoscopers.com/Patreon to be able to join in and you'll be able to get full access to the full interview. It's fun and you should enjoy it. All right, let's jump on in.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hey, Lester. Ready for yodeling?
Sure am, Buford. Now gather around, my possum pals. Join the jamboree. Come hoot and howl and holler from the heart.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rotoscopers YouTube channel. I have the great opportunity to be able to introduce some of my favorite people today. First, we have Ted Swords. He is putting together a live-action version of the Goofy movie. And we first had his first take of this was about 13 years ago. So we're back. And, of course, because he did such a great job, we leveled up, and he was able to get the actual voices for Goofy and Max. So, we're pretty excited to be here today.
Yeah. I was like, where do you want to
start? Go for it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, 13 years ago when we did After Today, we were huge fans of a Goofy movie, and we wanted to do a recreation of something, and, you know, everything else seemed to be out of our reach, and we're like, wait. You know, Max is just a kid walking to school. We walked to school.
And that's how it came about.
It was like, because it was so relatable. And, we loved it from the very beginning. And so we made shot to shot and not having any idea how far it would go or how big it would go. And when we finally got to, like, meet you, Bill, at, it was one of the D23s. Yeah. I was upstairs. My brother Rex was downstairs, and your wife ran into him. But Rex tells the story better.
Yeah, so we were just walking around. We were all wearing After Today shirts that we made that had a QR code so people could just scan it and go watch the YouTube video.
Nice.
And, you know, trying to promote our YouTube video of how big it was and everything. And suddenly this lady stops me in the middle of everything, and she goes, did you work on this video? And I was like, yeah, we did. Yeah, I'm one of the creators of it. And she goes, you have to meet my husband. And I'm like, I don't know why I asked, but I asked, who's your husband? And, you know, she's like, Bill Farmer. And I'm immediately like, you know, as she's dragging me across the convention center, being like, Ted, get down here. Like, and I'm like, and you were sitting at a table signing, you know, signing autographs. And from my memory, your wife comes up, like, pushes everybody out of the way and goes,
yeah, like, wait,
these are the boys that created that YouTube video. And It was amazing. We actually have video up on Facebook of, you know, that we posted of, like, here's this meeting Bill Farmer.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was, ever since I saw the video on YouTube, people had talked about it. Oh, have you seen the live action video? And no, finally I did. And it was just blown away by it because you had the animated movie kind of in a corner screen and the live action, and the shots were immaculate. They were matching exactly word to word, and I was just blown away by the talent. And so when you called and said, you know, would you be interested in doing this? Yes. And would you like Jason? Have you talked to him?
Yeah.
We'll do that. And here we are.
And here he is.
Here he is.
And even, yeah, at the time, with the first video, we were like, well, let's get Bill to be Goofy in it. And we had no idea how to contact you then at that time. And when we finally met you, we said that, and you're like, well, I would have done it.
Yeah,
that
absolutely
blew our little minds. And then we met Jason at another D23 at the 20th anniversary.
Yes, that was a good time.
That was. It was amazing. That hall was packed.
Yes.
Yeah.
With people
yeah.
still wanting to get in that they wouldn't let in.
Yeah, we felt like the Beatles.
No, that was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing. I measured it. It was like 2 minutes and 40-some seconds standing ovation at the end of that
really?
Thing. So they must have really liked. And we were the number one highest rated panel. And before that, our panel wasn't even rated in the top 10 that you should see.
Really?
But we were number one, and we beat out the Star Wars panel, and they had George Lucas and Harrison Ford.
Once again, Uncle Disney doesn't believe in us.
Right. It's the little movie that could. Right. It really is.
I think it is. There's more people every year that love a Goofy movie. It only grows.
Yeah.
So it seems.
Yeah, it really does.
And that's, I mean, you Wordsmobiles, you watched it, and then you grow up, and you show it to your kids, and they seem to dig it. I'm pleased that it stands the test of time.
Yeah, and it's been like 26 years, something like that, mm-hmm. since it came out. Yeah. And now we're getting, dads. I saw it when I was a kid.
Yes.
It makes me feel old. And now my kid, we watch it together, and so many people have said, I couldn't talk to my father till that movie came out.
Yeah.
And it kind of brought us together. And that's really the special part of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really cool. So that's kind of how this whole thing moved forward. What made you want to go ahead and make Lester's Possum?
We always wanted to do another one from a Goofy movie because we love it so much. We thought about Open Road, and I thought, okay, a whole bunch of cars in front of green screens because, like, we have no budget. We
right.
have nothing. I work at a college. Rick works at a battery company and gets to help design and produce the videos. And, like, it was like, so we just have to do what we can do, but we still want to be doing these things. And we thought, my brain runs faster than my mouth can. So with Lester's, I had just like read a book recently that was like, find your zone of genius and kind of thing. And I was like, well, I'm not really satisfied at work right now. Where do I want to be? And I want to be on an animation team mm-hmm. that is animating. I'd rather leave the college behind and go animate mm-hmm. On a team. And so I was like, okay, be doing that now. So I started modeling Lester and going more and more, building the mound and then the stage and then the other characters. And I was like, we can do this. This is in our reach. So that, and then we reached out, and you guys were excited too.
Well, you showed me a test of it, and I was completely blown away.
It's just the quality and the love that you put into your work. It shows. I'm honored to be here. So.
I called your college and told them to fire you. I'm like, you don't want this guy anymore. He's way beyond.
Way beyond you guys.
Oh, that's amazing. So. As you guys...
Can I call this college?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now that we know who to blame for this whole thing. We've gone through today, we were able to find different people that kind of matched everybody from Lester's Possum Farm. And I was wonderful. Like 2 days ago, Ted, you texted me. You're like, hey, we're going to be doing this. You did not mention that they were going to be here at all. And you're just like, hey, we're going to be doing this. And I, just from that first one, knowing 13 years ago what you guys did, I was like, I want to be a part of something Ted does. Let's do that. So I showed up and they're like, oh yeah, we're doing this whole, everybody's here. I'm like, well, dang.
It's a thing.
This is a thing. Yeah. And so what are some things that after this project goes, is there another project that you've got on the mind to move forward?
Well, there's several. There's two Schoolhouse Rock videos.
Oh, nice.
That we'd want to make. I'm Just a Bill would be a lot of fun. Go film on Capitol Hill and have like a real boy in like a CG paper character or like a Conjunction Junction would be a lot of fun.
Ted's already been modeling out trains and train tracks and stuff for Conjunction Junction.
Outstanding.
And then it would be really fun to do the opening of Bob's Burgers, but with Kristen Schaal being every single character in the show.
Cool. If you're watching Kristen, you really should
Here's
jump on
chance.
The screen.
Yeah. Opportunity awaits.
I love it. Okay, so from here, what is everybody doing that we can help promote as well? So you guys have your own careers that are bubbling and going over after the pandemic is now kind of opening. What's going on now?
Well, I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I produce a show called The Mars Variety Show. .com. Please check it out. Subscribe. It's inspired by the variety shows of the 60s and 70s, designed to boost the independent musician and comedian in Nashville. And I'm also still doing acting, I'm auditioning. I did some all the stuff I'm booking, I can't talk about because of like NDAs. Yeah. But there's a straight to VOD superhero animated thing that's happening. There's
nice.
A toy thing that's happening, and that's about it at the moment.
Cool.
Well, Goofy's keeping me pretty busy after 34 years.
That's amazing.
It's not slowing down. With pandemic, I have a studio at home, and I've been doing a show, Mickey's Fun House, which is on the Mickey Mouse Shorts called The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse on Disney Plus. I have a live-action show called It's a Dog's Life with Bill Farmer that I executive produced and starred in on Disney Plus. And anything else that they need with the Goof or anyone else, I'm for hire.
Perfect. Awesome.
I think we already went over me.
We already went.
And then I was working video for a long time, and then I've switched over to industrial design, so focusing on product design. And so I do a lot more CAD work, but it's interesting to go where I also do 3D modeling and CAD modeling, which most people would think is the same thing because you end up with a 3D model, but they're completely different mindsets on how you go about creating the model. And, you know, and so it's fun to, I use both of my worlds when modeling and, you know, because I come up with the realistic renders for our products at work. And but I'll pull stuff from like Blender, you know, 3D models I've created there. I'll do all the cabling and stuff so it looks much more organic. And then I take our CAD models of our products and I'm able to throw it all together and make really great renders. And even, you know, I've even had cables like animate moving. And so I've been able to help us step up our game when it comes to like our renders on Amazon and other places.
Yeah. I just decided I also will be giving them my resume.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Rotoscopers is still going great. We've got the podcast. You can check it out. Go to rotoscopers.com if you want to find any other information about Ted's videos as well. And thanks for joining us today. Thank you guys for,
thank you.
Oh,
it's
for doing
pleasure.
This with
thank
me.
You.
And
thank you guys.
Everybody, everybody's happy now. Bye.
It went by too fast.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm pretty sure there were more shots of Max in the scene. No, I can't wait to see it. Oh, I was asked, so how long is it going to take?
Probably another month and a half at the minimum, 2 months.
Also depending if we want to get
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So reach out.
I will.
Yeah.
I'll send a message.
We're willing to go to him.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know you have your regular day job. So is this like time dedicated like once a week?
Like usually I'll get home in the evenings and be like, oh, I'm not doing anything else. All right, let's
work on it.
And it is like this, it's like find your zone of genius where you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to go to bed. I want to work on this.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I was at the beginning of modeling it, I did like the stage and everything in like 2 weeks. And yeah, I'd find myself being like 3 a.m. again.
Is that you know you're doing what you should be doing?
I'm excited because we'll actually be putting the render of his.
Behind us?
Yes.
That'd be perfect.
So we'll be in Lester's possum farm.
Perfect. And you don't have to light the green screen, I noticed. Like, you don't have to hot the green screen.
Get rid of the wrinkles if you can work with it in that.
A lot of the software today is extremely intelligent on detecting.
Yeah, so you don't have to have it lit perfectly or it gets off or anything.
Yeah, like, I'm blown away many times where I just put the filter on at once and how much it cleans up. I'm like,
like,
I don't
before
have to
you
tweak.
Even touch anything, like, just auto.
I remember agonizing over, like, FCP before 10. It's like, it's just, now there's weird little stuff over here.
And the thing is, cameras more and more are just having the better color space, whereas, like, the first camera test we did with this, like, you know, we had the camera, and we went, and, like, it was having a hard time with the folds, and we swapped out to a newer camera, and just super clean. And it's like, all right, we're using that camera. No question.
Outstanding. So I've got a question for y'all as voice actors. Most people, when I talk to them, they're like, I always hate hearing my voice on recordings. Do you feel the same, or do you feel like your voice is your voice when you hear a recording?
That's why I like to change my voice. I don't have to hear myself. The hardest part is that we don't sound the same to ourselves as when you do on a tape. So I was trying to learn voices and characters by listening back. not by, I get the way it feels when I do it, but it doesn't necessarily translate. You got to hear it back and then adjust according to the tape. So, oh, I got to push that more, or, you know, maybe a higher voice would be better. And you can, hearing for me is better.
That's, it's, I don't mostly listen, focus on the sound of my voice and the performance of it. And I like listening to myself. I enjoy it. Either push myself or it's part of me still can't believe I've been doing this as long as I have.
And it's all about the acting. I mean, there's so many people that don't have a wide variety of voices, but they're great actors, and that's what counts.
When you were little kids, were you wanting to be actors, or did you?
Oh, I did. You know, when I was a little kid, I was in the middle of Kansas, and there's no outlet for that kind of stuff at all. It was always with me. I always loved going to the movies and watching cartoons and stuff, but never thinking that it would actually occur. And so I was about 35 before I even got out to Hollywood. And luckily, Goofy was my first big audition out there. So
I
should have done this years ago. But I just got lucky, right place, right time. And Goofy was my favorite Disney character, so I practiced the voice and stuff. And who knew?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many actors there are. I've heard like there's 160,000 SAG members in LA. And they're all potential people trying out for the same jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you do 1 out of 100 auditions, you're doing fine, you know, because it's just there's that many great people that are doing this.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Wow.
Well, Jason, you started out in TV, mm-hmm. right? And then at what point in time did you decide, I'd rather do voice acting?
It was never a decision. I've actually been doing voice acting when I started acting. I was 12. And my agent just sent me out for everything. And I did commercials and TV. My first cartoon was Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears, and I was 12.
Sweet.
And they were recording DuckTales up the hallway. And I don't know if it was like a conscious decision, but like my on-camera career, I feel like it was shifting. And I was just booking more voiceovers, so I just went on that train instead.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like a river. It just takes you where it wants to go.
Exactly.
And when it comes with money, you follow
it. Yeah, you follow it.
Yes. Working every day and, the odds of, you know, booking were up at the time. So, totally. As far as being, like, when I was a kid, I'd watch Nickelodeon and want to be, you know, do all those shows. I just never thought. I'm from Rhode Island originally. But I never thought that I would get the opportunity to do it until we moved to California.
And your parents just decide to move for you, or for?
No, my dad was a ballet teacher, so he got a gig teaching ballet at Fullerton College. And then while we were there, people were like, "Oh, your son's cute. You get him into acting."
Yeah.
My mom went, "Cha-ching! What a great idea!
Come on,
you can do this." So that was the driving force, and I'm just like, "Okay, let's do it."
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you try to get your son into acting?
You know, it's funny. It's just so weird because kids are just born with phones in their hands these days.
Yeah.
He's so self-aware. Mm. Like, he was terrified about coming here today.
Really?
About doing this. I'm like, dude, it's not. Trust me, it's fine. Yeah, I'm working on a.
You got to be kind of wacky to want to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to. You have to be able to jump in.
Yeah.
And I was. Say I got to put a bill over here on a shelf while I do whatever. I can't worry about how it's coming off.
It takes
up your mind doing that when you should be thinking about the character and just being the character.
1,000%. Yeah.
And if you can, I always tell students that when I teach that the most important thing, and I learned this in stand-up, is entertain yourself. You can't guarantee you're going to entertain me, but there's more of a chance if you entertain yourself, they'll be entertained too.
Yeah. 1,000%.
I feel like you have to be a bit of an entrepreneur in your heart to be an actor or in the arts, whether you realize it or not, because you are not living the day-to-day life of I have a job, I go in, clock out. And so you have to have a little bit more of the, this is what I'm doing for me and this is how I'm doing it. And whether you realize it or not, I feel like that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah, you need two jobs. And I always tell people, what do you need to get into voiceover? And I say, get rich parents. You know, you're going to need that money when you get going. It's tough. It's very competitive.
I see what you're saying. I think most actors need to have that. You know, that was, I don't want to get political, but like frustrating me about our union mm-hmm. is that so many of our members are so hesitant to take a risk or stand up for things that we need to believe in because they don't want to ruffle feathers.
Right.
They don't want to lose jobs. They can't pay their rent or their car payment. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be in this business. The rug can be pulled out from under you at any time.
Yeah.
You know? You've been goofy for so long, but there's no contract that says that.
I'm not a Disney employee. Nope. I'm the plumber. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like we come in, I do a job and go home. Yeah. Every job's a new contract.
No way. Every time they want Goofy, it's like a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned earlier, like Warner Brothers will. They don't seem to recast whatnot. Disney will stick with their people. He's an official legend. You know, so there's that aspect to it, but as far as a business...
Do they have to?
No, they don't.
They can use someone else tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you want to play Goofy till the end of time?
I love doing it. Why don't you retire? And I said, retire to what? Right. I get to do stuff like this. You know, it's fun.
Dick Van Dyke is 95, and he's like, when can I go on another stage? Like he's
Really?
Yep.
Performers don't give up, I don't think, unless they have to.
Yeah. So my parents in the Valley owned a Western Dinner Theater that I grew up performing at for my entire life.
That must have been fun.
It was. And so it was semi-similar to Lester's Possum Farm on that side. Everybody's on benches, everybody's watching the stage. But I like to hope that we were a lot better than Lester's. But I mean, not to toot my own horn. But
I have a feeling maybe you were.
But that is something that for them, like they traveled around for 13 years in a rock and roll band for years, and they just decided, I want to settle down. They had 3 kids at the time. And then they decided they built off of a 7-acre plot of land, a giant Western town. And people would come in and we would perform for them. It was an all-you-can-eat barbecue, beef, and chicken dinner and all the things. And then, it took them like 35 years and lots of things changing to be able to be like, okay, sure. I guess we can move on to the next step. But it was like kicking and screaming. They would not have let go if it was not forced.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's like the real work of this is auditioning. It's the reward is the work.
Except
you don't get paid for the
audition. Yeah, that's the problem.
Has that ever happened where you're like, wait, that was just an audition. Why are you using it? Or
no, they can't do that.
No. No, they can't do that. They got to pay you. I've had stuff lifted, but I don't think I've ever auditioned. That is a no-no. But I've certainly had stuff like, I remember there was a commercial with Pluto in it. And... you know, Pluto just bit a bubble. It was like for some bubble toy or something. And it, like that. And I heard that, and I said, well, that's a voiceover, but I don't remember doing that. And I started getting checks.
Oh.
And they just lifted it off something Disney had. But they did the paperwork right.
I started, there you go.
So it wasn't a problem then.
No, that wasn't a problem. Once the checks are coming, it's okay.
All right. Go for it. Less work for me.
That's the kind of jobs you like.
It makes you think of D. Bradley Baker. We met him at D23. And he does the voice of Perry the Platypus.
Mm-hmm.
And we also asked him about other characters he's done. And he said that for other shows, he goes in and does a new recording for every single episode. He said he's done one recording for Perry, like walked into the studio, made that noise,
they just
and like
made
walked
a little
out
library of sounds.
It's the exact same recording every time.
And then he gets paid per episode.
Yep.
That's a dream job, man.
10 minutes of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
He's
super
talented. Well, he does all the different clones. He does so much.
If everyone asks about, like, how do I get into voiceover, I direct them to his website. He made a website called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com.
And it answers questions that everyone should know before they jump into this.
Yeah.
It is cool.
The Rosie Taylor.
Yes.
Am I saying her name right?
Yep.
The when she died, we're sitting around. The kids are playing. We got a 4-year-old. She was three little girl. And I'm like, oh, the voice of Minnie Mouse died. And she was about to crack. Like,
your 3-year-old?
Minnie Mouse died.
Oh, yeah.
I was
like, no. Minnie Mouse didn't die.
Ran into her friend.
Her good friend.
Put on her Minnie Mouse hat. Put on her Minnie Mouse shirt. And pulled all of, she has like three or four Minnie Mouse dolls. Yeah. She pulled them all out and she walked out to us and was like, I have Minnie Mouse. Like, she's not dead.
Right. We got to do an event where they flew us and all the other voice actors, Wayne and Rusie, Mickey and Donald and Susan Blakesley.
No, it's Blakesley.
Who's
Cruella.
Yeah. And we're promoting something, and then they bring us into the Disney radio booth, and for fun we're going on the radio. We're just improvising. And do you remember this? And you're Pluto. You're doing rawr, and Mickey and Minnie are there, and Cruella's being Cruella, like, oh, Pluto, I'm gonna turn you into a jacket. So we go off the air, and we're laughing because we know we're a bunch of clever actors. And then the DJ calls us. She's like, there's a little girl who's crying because she thinks that Cruella's going to murder Pluto. And Rusie,
it was me crying.
Yeah, Rusie, without missing a beat, she's like, I got this. So go back on the air, and then Rusie, as Minnie, is talking to this little girl on the air, saying like, oh, hey, no, don't you worry about Pluto's right here, and Pluto's barking, and Cruella's right here, and Cruella's, you know, she's really got a good heart, and explaining in a way, just put the girl at ease. All of us were just crying.
Aww.
Yeah.
But that's like I mean, Rusie was so earnest, so talented.
She and Wayne were They were not married when I started. They were married to other people. They were both in bad marriages, but they fell in love doing the job. Both got divorced and then married.
Wait,
and
Minnie got married?
Yeah.
They didn't want that out there. They thought it took away from the characters and didn't want it to be the big thing. So they kept that pretty much a secret.
Yeah.
But he'd do interviews, and he'd have a little ukulele, and they'd have songs they'd work on together. Like, it was the most... My treasured moments is, like, getting to watch them do their thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Well, where was the verdict on lunch? Days like this, I can't have breakfast because I'm too nervous.
Yeah.
So
you're probably ravishing right now. There was some talk about a pizza place with an obnoxious organ.
Yeah.
That doesn't open till 4.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
go there anyway.
And and I think we had to have you at the airport at 4. But there was a mention of deep dish pizza. There's
that's great.
Oregano's Oregon, or
oregano's, and they got a whole range of things, and so I think that's great.
Sounds good. Continue the combo that way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again, and I'm finally glad to get to talk to you.
Same.
Don't you want to be hanging from a tree?
Uh-huh.
We're mighty glad to see you, and the parking's always free.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.